Here they come. Turn four. Final lap.
Live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Here they come, checker flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Oh, yeah. Good Saturday morning, everybody. Welcome in to Chasing Checkers here on ESPN. 102.5 The Game. Streaming on the Game Nashville app. As always, hope you're having a wonderful start to your Saturday morning. We are here every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. That's redundant, 9 o'clock every Saturday, as we talk all things racing, not just NASCAR, but IndyCar as well. And, of course, it is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Music City and European Collision Repair. So excited to get into Road America and what happened there. Chase Elliott with another win on the season, his second of the year. And also Mid-Ohio, it was I got to say this. I enjoyed the doubleheader that on July 4th. You know, we always talk about the Memorial Day doubleheader with the Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 600. I really enjoyed watching the IndyCar guys and girls race at Mid-Ohio. Hendersonville's Joseph Newgarden gets the win there, his first of the season. And so that was cool on NBC Sports Network, or on NBC, I should say. Then you didn't even have to change the channel. And here comes the NASCAR race on NBC. So Road America, and that was a lot of fun. Road America is an interesting race course. 4 miles, very, very long. But I thought it was really good. And on today's show, we're actually going to talk to Alex Pillow, who is the driver of the number 10 Chip Ganassi racing car in the IndyCar Series. Of course, he will be a part of the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix in Nashville coming up in about a month. It is hard to believe that it is a month away. My dog is in the background. He is excited. Sawyer is ready for some racing on the streets of Nashville. So we will talk to Alex coming up in just a little bit. He is the points leader right now, 2 wins on the year. So it'll be good to get his perspective on not only racing at Mid-Ohio, but coming to Nashville here in about a month. But let's start on the NASCAR side of things. Again, Chase Elliott gets his second win of the year, leading 24 laps at Road America. He is the road racing expert, as everybody knows. And it's amazing to continue to see him dominate the road courses. I mean, he's now third all time behind Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart on road racing wins. All time, not just active drivers. All time, he's in the same list as Gordon and Stewart with 7. I mean, that's more than half his wins have come on road courses. So you have Jeff Gordon leading the way with 9 and Tony Stewart with 8. Now you have Chase Elliott with 7. And there are several more road courses left on the schedule. You got Watkins Glen. You got the Indy road course that they go to. You got the Roval that they go to. So several more opportunities for him to grab a win. So he for whatever reason, he's just good on these things. And he talked about that in post-race press conference. He was asked, you know, why are you so good at road courses? And I don't think he really has an answer.
Yeah, I honestly don't know, man. I wish I did. If I did, I'd tell you maybe. But I honestly don't. I really have no idea. I really feel like it's just good cars, and you know, our team as a whole, I mean, has been good at road courses the whole time too. I mean, you know, Kyle won where at Sonoma, yeah. So I mean, yes, I feel like, you know, drivers are only as good as what they have to drive, and fortunately, I feel like I've got the best stuff, and just gotta make it work.
Here's the thing about Chase Elliott. Yes, he has become this road racing expert. But you look, since he came into the Cup Series in 2015, and it's well documented, he ran 5 that year, but then 16, 17, those first 2 years in the Cup Series, goes winless. Came close, had 10 top fives his rookie year, 12 top fives in 2017, but then it all broke through in 2018 with the 3 wins. And then last year, of course, 5 wins en route to a championship. But yes, he's won on these road courses, but he can win on ovals too, and he can win on different types of tracks, whether it's the, you know, the mile and a half or what have you. I mean, you look at last year, he won at Charlotte on the oval. So that's a, you know, your intermediate mile and a half. And then he won the road course at Daytona, won the Roval at Charlotte, won Martinsville, a short track, Phoenix for the championship, which is, I guess you put that in kind of the intermediate category. So, I mean, he wins on different styles of track, which is going to only help him as he moves forward in his career, of getting those, you know, that kind of experience on different kinds of tracks. He can win anywhere he goes, and he's shown that. I mean, he's shown that by winning a championship, having to win at tough places. Phoenix is not an easy place to win, but he goes, and you know, the thing is, like, Dale Earnhardt Jr. was the Pied Piper of Daytona and Talladega. He took advantage of that and got a lot of wins out of those places, which helped him, you know, in when it comes to the points. And, you know, if you think about how it's all set up now with win and you're in and you can do things a little bit differently, you kind of wonder how some guys' careers would go, you know, when it comes to a championship, because you get that win under your belt, you know you're going to be in the playoffs, you can take more risks at different tracks. And so Chase is showing that he just has a knack for winning, but he also knows how difficult it is to win no matter where you're at.
No, I just genuinely know how hard it is to win, and I want to enjoy them. You know, that has nothing to do with our team. You know, I think it's great our company's having success. It's making all of us better. It's pushing us to be better. And the men and women at HMS deserve to win. You know, I feel like we have the best people, and most importantly, Mr. Hendrick deserves to win for all he's given to this sport and the people in it for many, many years. So he deserves to win the most, and I'm proud of that, proud to be a part of it. But, no, I think my comments just come from literally it's hard to win, and I learned that lesson firsthand in how many races I threw away on the way to that first win, and it makes you appreciate it more. I mean, bottom line, it makes you appreciate wins more and being in this position. So when the day comes that I don't appreciate it, I should probably go do something else.
Yeah, and again, you go back to the start of his career. There were several opportunities he had to win races, and he did. He gave them away. And I think that you as a driver have to learn at times how you can lose a race before you can actually win a race. Because you go in and you think, okay, cool, I finished first. There you go, boom. But there are things that you can do along the way, mistakes that you can make that will cost you those wins, whether it's your pit crew or you as the driver. And so I think he has a better appreciation of how difficult it is to win in NASCAR, in the Cup Series, because of things that happened early on in his career. And so, yeah, you're a driver, a veteran driver, still going to make mistakes, but they're different ones, and you learn from them as you go, and that's what Chase has done. Road America was going to be a challenge, and I think everybody knew that it was going to be a challenge. Because the Cup Series had never been there before. It's 4 miles. It was hot, very, very sticky. And so there are a lot of different challenges that these drivers had. And Chase, on his burnout interview with NBC, talked about that.
Yeah, it's just this track has a lot of character to it, and it's so long. You know, you have a lot of opportunity to make mistakes or be good whenever you hit it. So, you know, just, 4 miles is a long course, and just has a lot of character to it, a lot of bumps, a lot of sections that are really tricky to get through. And then conserving your tire was actually a little bit of a thing today, which, to be honest, we don't have much of that, I feel like, anymore. So it was a little different race, but like I said, proud of our group.
Chase Elliott on the challenges of the track. And, yeah, they did have to – you had to watch tire wear, which, you know, that's something that I know that Goodyear does a tremendous job of. They don't want the teams to have to worry about the tire and chase the tire and all that stuff. But it does add strategy. I mean, it's kind of the old school racing mentality of you got to take care of your tires, take care of your stuff. And so I think when you get into a situation where you're late in a run where the tire is wearing out, I think that's fun to watch. That creates another layer of entertainment for the fan, and another, you know, really shows you how good these drivers are to be able to work through that. So I think that, you know, it's a good thing to have some tire wear. And you saw that at Road America, the bumps, the abrasions of the surface. And I think you're going to see that at Atlanta. I mean, we're going to get into Atlanta and the news that came out this week with that racetrack, and that this will be the last race on this surface and this configuration. But it's old, and it's going to eat some tires. And, you know, that was something we talked about here at Nashville of with the surface sitting out for 10 years with no use. You know, what was it going to do to the tires? And, you know, Goodyear did a really good job of bringing a good tire. It was the brakes that were kind of the issues in Nashville. But I think that's fun. It just adds another layer to it when you talk about strategy and trying to get it all figured out. So Chase Elliott is your winner. Christopher Bell, who you'll hear from in just a second, is second. Kyle Busch, third. Kurt Busch, fourth. Denny Hamlin, fifth. Chase Briscoe, sixth. Ross Chastain, seventh. So another good run for Chip Ganassi after the big news of selling the NASCAR assets to Trackhouse. Tyler Reddick, 8th. Martin Truex Jr., 9th. And Matt DiBenedetto, he led some laps and comes home with a top 10. So good run for that group at the Wood Brothers. And as I mentioned, you're going to hear from Christopher Bell because he had a pretty good day. And it's been a tough going for Christopher Bell, really, since that win at the Daytona Road Course, the second race of the year, but this was something that they needed, and he talked to NBC's Parker Kligerman after the race.
Yeah, just kind of buried ourselves there whenever we had that pit road penalty, but man, it was a lot of fun. You know, our Sirius XM Camry was really good, and really proud of this 20 group. It's been a trying last 2 months, but we feel like we're getting back on track here, so there's no reason why we can't be running up front every week.
And I was going to mention that this is your first top five since April. How does that mean to this team to go out there and have a solid run, execute, and get the finish?
Yeah, it's been good. You know, last week at Pocono, we had a car capable of finishing in the top five, and it didn't happen. So besides that, Nashville, we were okay. And aside from that, we're, you know, not, I don't know, we just haven't been very fast. But here recently, the last couple of weeks, I've been really proud of the progress we made, and just proud to drive for everybody on this 20 group at Joe Gibbs Racing. And yeah, I'm excited for the future. I know there's more to come. Like I said, there's no reason why we can't run up front every week.
Christopher Bell is a very, very talented race car driver. He's still very young. I think it surprised a lot of people, including myself, that he got his first win in the second race of the year. He ran last year, as we all know, in the Cup Series, but first year in a Joe Gibbs Cup car. And he's already got a win under his belt. He's going to be in the playoffs, but they're still growing pains. I think it goes back to what I was saying. It's very hard to win in NASCAR. And you see these drivers that they don't spend 5 years in the Xfinity Series anymore. They spend a couple of years, win championships, win races, and boom, they're in Cup. And so that gives you a Christopher Bell, Chase Elliott, you know, a few years ago, William Byron, Chase Briscoe now in the Cup Series, Ross Chastain. I mean, that's what happens. And so you go up the ladder so fast, and rightfully so. Now you kind of have to settle in and go through some of those growing pains, and that's what Christopher Bell's done. But he's right. I mean, they're in good equipment. Joe Gibbs Racing has good equipment, and they should be running up front just about every week. But as Kyle Busch said after the Xfinity race, when talking about some of the challenges, even though he's got two wins, Martin Truex Jr. has two wins, Bell has the one win, Hamlin still hasn't found victory lane, there are still some things that they're working on as a whole, as an organization.
Everything in our world right now is simulation, you know, so it's a matter of whether or not the data that's in the computer, getting put in the computer, is all the right data, and then what it's spitting out for all of us to read and all the squiggly lines and stuff is right, you know. So we try to validate all that stuff each week and make sure that what the sim tool says, the drivers say the same thing, and, you know, there's definitely been occasions where that has not been the same. So we're still working on that. I think you're always going to be working on that without having more tire testing and stuff like that with the wheel force cars.
I do wonder if we're going to get back to, you know, more practice, more qualifying next year. You know, we've talked about that on the show before of the added expense with that. But with the new car, something, you know, expenses are going to come down and maybe you can make it all even out. But tire testing and all of that stuff, because you can tell the teams that have nailed the simulation data and the ones that haven't. And at times, last year and this year, Gibbs has struggled. Now, again, they have 6 wins on the year as an organization amongst the 3 drivers. So you can say, okay, well, that's not that bad. I mean, they're winning races. Kyle Busch has won, you know, 2 races already. But you can tell that there are times when they're on and there's times when they're off. And Hendrick, for the most part, has been on pretty much every race this year. And so that kind of goes into the whole the organizational thing and working within the guidelines of what's happened with COVID over the last year and a half or so. So congratulations to Chase Elliott on getting his 2nd win of the year. Real quick, again, I mentioned the Honda Indy 200 at Mid-Ohio that I watched earlier in the day. Joseph Newgarden gets the win there. He led 73 of the 80 laps to get his first win of the year. Marcus Ericsson was 2nd. Alex Palou is coming up in just a few minutes, was 3rd. Scott Dixon, 4th. Alexander Rossi, 5th. Graham Rahal, 6th. Roman Grosjean in 7th. Pato O'Ward in 8th. Santonio Ferrucci in 9th. And Takuma Sato rounding out the top 10. So the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix coming up in a month on the streets of Nashville, and one of the drivers who is leading the IndyCar, the NTT IndyCar Series championship points right now, is Alex Palou. He is going to join us on the other side here on Chasing Checkers, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City and European Collision Repair on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're back on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app as always. And as promised, we are joined by Alex Palou. He is a 2-time race winner this season, including just a couple of races ago, 10 starts on the year in his 2nd NTT IndyCar Series season, and leading the championship points. And, of course, will be participating in the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix in just a few weeks, actually a month away from the Music City Grand Prix. Alex, how's it going?
It's going really well. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Yeah, absolutely. And what a season this has been for you so far. Only your 2nd season in the NTT IndyCar Series. You're leading the championship points right now. You have the 2 wins, 7 top fives on the season. And it's your first with Chip Ganassi Racing, and so much history with that team and with Chip in the IndyCar Series. So I would say things have fit nicely, but what has been able to get things going so quickly for you all?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a mix of lots of things. To be honest, joining Chip Ganassi Racing for me was like a dream, like joining a team that's been so successful in so many series, and they are still winning a lot in, as I said, in NASCAR, in IMSA, in even in Extreme E. So we're trying to do the same in IndyCars, and I'm having a lot of fun, learning a lot from everybody from the team and also from my teammates. So, yeah, we had a really solid start so far. Number 10 NTT Data Honda card's been up there every weekend, but we got to keep it going until the championship is done.
How beneficial was last year for you, even though this is your first year at Chip Ganassi, but running different disciplines in your career, coming over to the U.S., running the IndyCar Series, how much did you learn last year that you've been able to apply this year?
Yeah, last year was – the first thing was that it was hard last year. We had less practice than usual just because of the pandemic, and I had to learn so much stuff from IndyCar, like learning how to race on ovals, learning the IndyCar races, the tracks, and how the – yeah, how the weekend goes, like having so little practice, it's tough for a driver. But yeah, that was that prepared me enough to be able to stay up there during this year. So there's still a long way to go. I'm still learning every weekend from my teammates, from the team, learning how to, yeah, on oval especially. I was learning a lot from Tony and Scott. It was amazing. And still on road courses, I'm still learning. So it's good. It's a good thing. We have a good atmosphere there. So we just got to continue working.
and you had a third place finish at Mid-Ohio, and I know that was pretty much Joseph Newgarden running away with it, but it has to feel good to get a podium finish as you have a little bit of a break here before you all come to Nashville.
Yeah, I think every driver wants to win every weekend, but you know, in IndyCar, it's so competitive that you know you're going to have really good days, and not so good days. So we did the most of it. We were starting P7 because I didn't have the best of my qualifying, but we were able to make it to the podium in a race that was really tricky to overtake. So we did a good strategy. My crew was really solid. They were the best on pit stops. And yeah, going home and going to the summer break with another podium feels awesome. But as I said, we need to win summer races. Joseph is pushing a lot. He was really, really strong at Mid-Ohio. But yeah, I think we're going to have some races that we're going to be really strong because we've been there already last year and I know the tracks, and there's some others that we'll have to work a bit more.
So the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix, which will take place August 6th, 7th, and 8th here on the streets of Nashville. And it is a street course, and that is something that is not necessarily unique. You see it across the world that they turn city streets into a race course, but what is the big difference in going, or is there a big difference in how you prepare of going to a track that you know is a permanent setup, it's the same every time you go there, as opposed to going to a street course that is temporarily built for the race weekend?
Yeah, it changes a lot. The mindset you have, the how you approach the work before. We nowadays, we use a lot of the simulator, and hopefully we're going to have a good model for Nashville, like nobody been there, right? So, everybody's going to be on the same page, but, you approach it a bit differently. You, as soon as you have any error, or any small mistake, you end up in the wall, and you want to have as much track time as possible for driver confidence and setup development. So hopefully we're going to have, a good race, but yeah, I like the bumps. There's going to be some bumps more than on permanent tracks, obviously, because we're racing on normal streets. And it looks good. I think it looks like it's going to be a crazy action-packed race there in downtown Nashville.
Now, it's interesting you say that you like the bumps. Clearly, I have not driven an Indy car before. I've done iRacing, and it gets as close to it as you possibly can. But I know when I hit bumps, I'm about to hit the wall. And those things are so sensitive that it's hard to maneuver. But why is it that you like kind of the work in the bumps?
That's everybody. Everybody thinks the same way. I think the same way. And I think all the drivers feel the same way as you do when doing iRacing with the bumps. Like, the car is on the air. It's not under control 100%. So I think that's why we like it so much, just because you have to be on top of the car. You want to go, you want to be one step ahead of it. But sometimes it's tough. So yeah, street race. It's street racing. It's always super fun. It's always super difficult, and it's both really demanding physically and psychologically for a driver.
Well, now I have checked out where they're going to put it, and I know this area. Obviously, you're gonna have some tight corners that you're gonna have to maneuver through. That's gonna be fun to watch.
Yeah, that's and we have long straights and then really tight corners. That's why I think we're going to have lots of action. It's going to be interesting to see how much toe we can get on the straight. I think it's long enough, so we're going to be able to make some overtakes and then hard braking. So it's going to be interesting. As I said, nobody knows what to really expect. We know everybody knows where the track is going to be and how the track is going to look, but you never know if you're going to be 10 miles an hour slower or faster until we get there. So we'll see if it's a first gear corner or second gear corner down the straight, but for sure it's going to be enough to make some action.
Alex Pillow is here with us on Chasing Checkers. So how excited are you to know that straightaway is going to go over a river? You're going to be going over a bridge over the Cumberland River, and that is going to be fun to see.
That is going to be really fun and interesting. I never went racing over a river, so I think it's the first time for almost everybody. So it's going to be interesting, but at the end of the day, it's just a street, and we're going to go the same way It's going to be super fun at the beginning and seeing everybody going through that river. But yeah, I'm really excited about it.
I know it may be hard to answer this having not been on the track yet, but does going over, you know, a body of water on a bridge, is that going to change the handling of the race car when you go over that portion of the track?
No, it shouldn't be. I'll let you know, but it shouldn't be, no.
Okay, that's good to know. I was just curious about that. But the streets of Nashville, it's going to be cool to have 300,000 people packing. Why do you think, and I know that you're just in your second year in IndyCar, but Nashville is becoming a racing city. NASCAR has come back. You all are coming back with IndyCars. There's SRX. There is such this thirst for motorsports in this town. And why do you think it's important for IndyCar to visit new cities that want them there, like Nashville wants you all?
Yeah, I don't think it's only like motorsport is getting interested in Nashville. I think it's a really cool city overall. As I said, I only spent like 1 day there, and it was awesome. So I think it's just a cool city, and everybody wants to go the events, and the people, they want to go to cool cities. So I think it's going to be awesome. I think it's going to be awesome for IndyCar, for the people there, so they get to know IndyCar if they don't know. And when it's in downtown, obviously everybody knows just because the streets are blocked and there's a bit more people than usual. But yeah, I'm sure everybody's going to have lots of fun, the teams, the league included, and everybody visiting the race.
You mentioned your teammates earlier at Chip Ganassi Racing, obviously Scott Dixon and what he's been able to do in his career, and Marcus there too. But Jimmy Johnson joins the fray this year, running all the road courses and the street courses, a 7-time NASCAR Cup Series champion. What's it been like having him around, bringing all his knowledge, albeit a different form of racing?
It's been a dream. He's a legend. He's a champion. And come on, just to be able to win 7 times a championship on the highest level of the motorsport, that's insane. So yeah, it's just unbelievable to think that I'm able to share everything I want with him. I ask a ton of questions, even if he's not that experienced in IndyCar. He's a champion. He's really experienced in motorsport, and we can get so many things that it's going to help us and help me personally to be a better driver. So it's been super fun. It's been a lot of learning. And yeah, I know that Jimmy's going to be up there really soon.
Well, absolutely. Well, Alex, I appreciate the time today. It's been fun to chat with you, and can't wait to see you all in person in about a month as the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix is the next race on the schedule. Best of luck with that and the rest of the year chasing that championship.
Yeah, thank you so much, and thank you for having me on your show, man.
He is Alex Pillow, the driver of the number 10 Chip Ganassi Racing Honda in the NTT IndyCar Series, and as mentioned, leading the points, the championship standings right now in that series, as they have a little bit of a break before the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. The standings right now are as follows. Alex Pillow, Pato O'Ward, is second with 2 wins on the year. Scott Dixon, Pillow's teammate at Chip Ganassi Racing, is third. He has 1 win on the year. Joseph Newgarden, Hendersonville's own, is fourth for Team Penske, just getting his first win of the year, but 3 poles on the season so far. Marcus Ericsson, the other Chip Ganassi car, with 1 win on the year. Simon Pagenaud from Team Penske is sixth. No wins for him thus far. Colton Herta for Andretti, he has 1 win on the year. He is seventh. Rinus VK in the Ed Carpenter Racing, number 21, with a win on the year, is eighth. Graham Rahal and that Rahal Letterman Lanigan Racing, number 15, is ninth. And rounding out the top 10 is Takuma Sato, again with Rahal Letterman Rahal Letterman Lanigan Racing in that number 30. Honda as well, and a couple of big name drivers that are just kind of outside the top 10 right now. Will Power, Alexander Rossi, Scott McLaughlin, who took over the 3 car this year. You have Ryan Hunter-Reay as well, so a couple that need to try and turn things around, and maybe that can happen starting with the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. When we come back here on Chasing Checkers, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City and European Collision Repair, we'll talk about the Atlanta Motor Speedway and the big announcement that they made ahead of this weekend's race. We'll do that when we come back on ESPN 1025 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
If you've missed any of today's show, just search Chasing Checkers on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform.
We're back on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app as well. Chase McCabe here with you. Appreciate Alex Pillow for joining the show. Really good conversation with him, as we are all brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Music City and European Collision Repair. And you will be hearing more IndyCar driver interviews on both this show and Darren Donick and Chase as we get closer and closer to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix coming up August 6th, 7th, and 8th on the streets of our city. Cannot wait for that weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. But Helio Castroneves is scheduled to come on next week in studio, as he'll be racing at the fairgrounds for the SRX series, their season finale, with Tony Stewart and others. Chase Elliott is going to be entered in that, racing against his father, Bill, at the fairgrounds. So going to be fun to see that. And I think that's a good move. It's a good move by SRX to have the defending Cup Series champion, and it's a good move by the fairgrounds to have him there, because a lot of things in discussions with the fairgrounds, it's slow moving, yes, but only a little bit a little bit goes a long way, is what I'm trying to say, with the defending Cup Series champion coming in there. So we will have coverage of that. We're also going to have coverage all weekend from the Atlanta Motor Speedway. So keep up on all the social channels, chasingcheckersradio.com for all of that, at chase_checkers on Twitter, Chasing Checkers Radio on Instagram, YouTube, all of those things. So we will have coverage from the Atlanta Motor Speedway. And speaking of, they made a big announcement this week. There had been a discussion on the surface and when it was going to be redone. It has not been done since the track was reconfigured in the late 90s. And so it's very old and abrasive. And yes, it's still one of the fastest tracks on NASCAR, but you know, eventually you do have to address the track surface. And Speedway Motorsports is going to do just that by creating a next generation Atlanta Motor Speedway with a historic track reprofile, is what they are calling it. So following this week's race, the Quaker State 400 presented by Walmart at Atlanta Motor Speedway, they're going to break ground on this project that will get it ready for an all-new race experience in 2022. And they go on in the release to say, quote, following 10 months of confidential research, development, testing, and simulation with engineers and iRacing, the reprofile will increase the current 24-degree banking in Atlanta's turns to 28 degrees, higher than any other intermediate track on the NASCAR circuit. Straightaway banking will remain 5 degrees. In addition to the new high banks, the racing surface will become narrower with an overall decrease in width from 55 feet to 40 feet. New widths will be 52 feet on the front stretch, 42 feet on the back stretch, and 40 feet in the turns, end quote. So this is the interesting thing here, because I hear more banking and I go, okay, cool, I like that. But now you're narrowing, you know, the one thing that's been cool about Atlanta is there are multiple lines and you can see some really good side-by-side racing. And now you're taking away a good bit of racetrack, you know, so what is that going to do for the actual racing? Yes, you're going to have more banking in the corners, but less room to work with. And I know the drivers are a little unsure on this. I'm a little unsure on it. I think just like anything you do that's different, that's a change, you're automatically going to be a little bit unsure about it. And that's perfectly normal. But this goes back to my overall thought on NASCAR in trying different things, but not crazy, you know, not too crazy. And some people may go, well, no, this is pretty crazy what they're doing, what SMI is trying to do here, that, you know, you're taking too much of a hammer and swinging it. Cause I know a lot of people wanted to see Atlanta reconfigured back to how it was before they made it the D shape that it is now. If you remember, in the late 90s, the front stretch was on the back stretch, and they reversed everything and added the D-shaped, and that's when they repaved it and made it basically look like Charlotte and Texas. And pretty good racing. I mean, it's a fast track. Think about all the photo finishes we've seen in Atlanta on that configuration, but there were some that wanted to see it go back to how it used to be. This is still going to have the same shape that it does now. It's just going to be create different racing lines. So, I mean, it's for me, it's going to be a true wait and see. I just got to see what it looks like, see what the product is. But they got to be careful, because at the same time, remember, Atlanta had two races. They lost one and just got the second one back with it leaving Kentucky. You know, this race date usually is in Kentucky, and they put it at Atlanta, and they believe they're still going to have two races next year. But, I mean, there were times where there were conversations of, was Atlanta going to lose its race altogether? Were they even going to have a race? And they've gone back to two. You got to still have a good product and put on a good show. And if they can do that, then they'll be fine. But, you know, they've had good races at Atlanta with this current setup and current layout of the track. So I'm all about trying new things. I am all about thinking outside the box. But it also leads to this topic. I'm going to tie a couple of different things together. The fans, you got to make the fans happy because they buy the tickets. And you want to fill up the grandstands with the fans. And that's been an issue at Atlanta. That's been an issue at other places. Television ratings, that's been an issue. Well documented. We've all talked about that. And you're getting some people back. You're getting some new fans. You're doing things for both, which is good. But you also have to keep the drivers happy. Because if you keep the drivers happy, the drivers are going to put on a good show. And then the fans are going to want to come. So I get it. The fans have the money. They pay the money. You want them. But if you have drivers that aren't into your racetrack and don't want to go there, then that's a problem. And therefore, you're going to have some that just go through the motions, get through the weekend, and move on. You know, I think that going in, when they initially made the announcement that racing was coming back to the Nashville Super Speedway, there was some of that going on. There was the thought, I know Chase Elliott was very vocal about it, of, what's the show going to be like? And I think they impressed a lot of people. The show was good. The racing was good. I would say of the three races at the Nashville Super Speedway, the Xfinity race probably was the best racing-wise. Obviously, Kyle Larson ran away with it in the Cup Series, but there were a lot of good side-by-side battles. Goodyear had the right tire. They had put the resin down on the track that kept rubber on the track. I thought it was a good show. But again, when you change things and you do something new, you're going to get the doubters and also people like me of, hey, show me. I got to see it. Let me see it, and then I can give you, you know, my true thought. But you got to keep the drivers happy too. So I love iRacing. I love that technology is available to be able to do some R&D stuff without actually physically having to tear up a racetrack first. But at the same time, you know, as Kyle Busch said in our first segment, I mean, you're relying on simulation. And so you're hoping that whatever you put into the computer and whatever the computer spits out, it's going to be right. And that's what Atlanta is hoping here. So I'm cautiously optimistic that this is going to be a good thing. We'll find out next spring or whenever they go back to the Atlanta Motor Speedway to see if they're right. But it's a risk, just like anything. I mean, it'd be a risk for SMI, you know, if they finally get this deal done with the fairgrounds, to put a ton of money into the fairgrounds and fixing it up. But that's why you do it, because sometimes the reward pays off. But I mentioned keeping the drivers happy. Kyle Busch last week won the Xfinity race at Road America. He's 4-for-4 this year. He has one more Xfinity race, and it's going to be later today at the Atlanta Motor Speedway. And that is supposedly going to be it for him. And he was asked, you know, or kind of what is he, how he's looking at it, that, you know, trying to win, go 5-for-5, is that how he wants to go out? This is what he said.
Yeah, I mean, since we're this close, we might as well go 5-for-5. That would certainly be nice. That would be special. So, you know, thanks to Chris Gale, Joe Coy, everybody that that's worked on my stuff this year and has gotten us to this point. It's been really, really cool. So didn't really come up here expecting to win, just wanted to learn a track. But when you're in position there towards the end of the race, you know, your mindset definitely changes and you get into the groove of what you got to do. So, you know, that was good for today. But, yeah, going into next week at Atlanta, as far as I understand it, it's going to be my last Xfinity Series race. So, you know, we'll get everything we got. Hopefully it's a good one for us. You know, we should start up near the front, I think, because of the qualifying mathematics, Bob, that should put us better or close to the front, and we could have a good race down there.
So it is scheduled to be his final Xfinity Series race, and you know, he made kind of a big deal about it when he won here at Nashville for his 100th win, that you know, he wanted to get to 100 and then be done, and that then he would move on. He will start on the pole for that Xfinity Series race in the 54 car at Atlanta later today. But I think that you have to read kind of the bigger story here with this. I don't think it's a bad thing that Kyle Busch races Xfinity. And I could be in the minority on that. I probably am in the minority on that. But the way I see it, these drivers that are up and coming and learning the ropes, and they get moved up way too fast at times through the Truck Series, through the Xfinity Series, because everything's driven by money and they have sponsorship because, oh, they're the next big thing. So we got to get them to the Cup Series as fast as possible because of the money that drives it all. But then they're not ready. If you're going to do that, if you're going to continue running guys and girls through the trucks and the Xfinity Series, and they're going to be in each one of them for a couple of years, unlike the old days when, you know, you had to work your way up for a while before you got to the Cup Series. If you're going to do that, wouldn't you rather have that driver, like a Harrison Burton, for instance, go up against Kyle Busch every week? A two-time Cup Series champion, a former Xfinity Series champion, over 200 National Series wins. Wouldn't you want your driver to go up against that? But, you know, NASCAR's changed all these rules where they can only run so many races. And, you know, if you want to say for the playoffs that Cup drivers can't be in it, okay, well, all right. But I'll argue against it a little bit because, no offense to the up-and-coming drivers, but for a lot of fans that you're trying to bring in, a lot of these new race fans that you're trying to bring in, they know who Kyle Busch is. They don't all know who Harrison Burton is. I guarantee you the novice, just new race fan, probably couldn't even tell you that Harrison Burton's dad is Jeff. The hardcore fans do. But I think it's a good thing, you know, that you have drivers like Kyle Busch that want to race in these lower series. They don't have to, but they're racers. They want to win. They want to compete. And I think it's good for the younger drivers. But as Kyle Busch will tell you, you know, he's kind of gotten forced out.
Yeah, no, racers are racers. They want to race. You know, but when you get blackballed by everybody to go run and have fun, and it's just no fun to hear all the BS afterwards or during. So, you know, just like Harvick kind of gave it up and quit and just ran a couple this year to get experience at places he hadn't been to because he didn't want to hear it anymore or be a part of it anymore. So, you know, sometimes you drive guys away, and that's a part of it. So we'll just run on Sundays, I guess. And I still own the truck team, so I'll still run my truck races that I can. That's about it.
And I appreciate his honesty because that's exactly what it is. It's people saying he shouldn't run. He's taking things away from other drivers. Well, you know what? Here's the deal. If you're a regular in the Xfinity Series or the Truck Series and you're mad that Kyle Busch is coming in and winning all the races, then figure out a way to beat Kyle Busch. It's simple as that. Figure out a way to win. Don't sit here and complain that, oh, Kyle Busch is taking wins from younger drivers. We'll beat him. Like, you're driving the guy out because you're basically saying we can't beat him, so he doesn't need to be here. Let's change all the rules. That's crap. That's crap to me. You want to beat him, then beat him. That's what you need to do. So I wish it would go back to the old days if they could run as many as they want. Don't have them run for the championship. That's fine. That I have no problem with that. They don't run for points in the trucks or Xfinity Series. But let them race. Let them be in whatever race they want because, again, you want to make the fans happy. Well, making the fans happy will be, you know, and they don't go to as many of the standalone events anymore. But I can remember out here in Nashville, they'd go to the Easter weekend, come out to Nashville, you get all the Cup drivers on Saturday. And that was the draw. So I think you got to relook at that. All right, so Atlanta this weekend got the Xfinity race a little bit later on today, and then the Quaker State 400 presented by Walmart tomorrow. Ryan Blaney won the spring race earlier this year, and he discussed with the media on how important that win was, and maybe coming back here can help him turn around some luck that he's had as of late.
Yeah, it was really important. You know, to do it early like that was great. You know, and yeah, you know, the last couple months for us probably haven't been the smoothest, just as far as, you know, needing a little bit of overall speed and just kind of, you know, just trying to need to tidy things up, you know, from my side, from pit road side, you know, that's just hasn't been very smooth. And you kind of go through those rough patches, throughout your season. You just hope to clean them up, you know, by playoff time. But, yes, you know, it's just, I mean, talking about Atlanta, you know, it's nice to go back there to a place where, you know, we were so fast there in the spring, and it'll be a little bit different, this weekend, just being hotter and things like that. But at the end of the day, it's the same racetrack pretty much. And, try to go back there with the same mindset of, you know, set up stuff and try to adjust to the temperature.
There you go. Ryan Blaney on that win earlier this year and then what they can do, this weekend. It is going to be hot for the second race at the Atlanta Motor Speedway, but I think it'll be fun. Active drivers that have won multiple races at Atlanta include Kevin Harvick, who won last year, 2018, and of course that emotional one, his first Cup Series win in 2001. Kurt Busch is the three-time winner at the Atlanta Motor Speedway, the last coming in 2010. Brad Keselowski has won there twice, 2019, 2017. Kyle Busch has also won there twice, but the last coming in 2013. Ryan Blaney, as we mentioned, won earlier this year. Denny Hamlin won in 2012. That leads us to Sunday Money. All right, you know how this works. I'm going to give you the odds from BetMGM, and we will make some picks. I'll tell you how you can potentially make some money when it comes to betting here on the race at the Atlanta Motor Speedway. The favorite, honk if you've heard this before, Kyle Larson at plus 225 is the favorite. But I'm thinking that luck is, he's going to cool off a little bit. I still think he's going to be a factor, but I don't think he's going to win. Watch him win, and I'll have to eat my words next week. I'm going to go with another Hendrick driver, though, that I think is going to make it back-to-back. Chase Elliott, plus 800, his home track, the Atlanta Motor Speedway. I think he finally gets a win at AMS. So give me him. I like Kevin Harvick at plus 900 as well. He always runs well at the Atlanta Motor Speedway, so potentially could get his first win of the year. Hard to believe that he has not won. And then another one that he always seems to come around at tracks like this. Alex Bowman, plus 1,400. And then my long shot this week, I will go with a former winner at the Atlanta Motor Speedway, Kurt Busch, plus 3,300, who has been running well as of late. So there you go. That's Sunday Money. That's the picks. And that is going to do it for this week's edition of Chasing Checkers. My thanks to Alex Pillow for joining the show, as well as Mercedes-Benz of Music City for sponsoring a European collision repair as well. Keep it on the social channels at Chasing_Checkers, Chasing Checker Radio, ChasingCheckersRadio.com for all the coverage of Atlanta. And we will talk to you next Saturday at 9 on ESPN 102.5 The Game.